Now back to Brian Bushlack's business briefing on FM News 101.
Okay, welcome back as we bring in our good friend Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, who joins us here on a Sunday afternoon from beautiful Sun River, Oregon. Pat, thanks for taking time out of your golf game to share your insight with us. And I want to rewind the clock a little bit to about a week ago when Ben Bernanke came out at Jackson Hole and gave his annual commentary. What was your take on that? What can the Fed do with rates as low as they already are?
Well, you know, two things I would comment on here, Brian. What first, the Bernanke speech, you know, this is more like a symposium or a conference instead of a testimony in front of Congress or a policy statement after a meeting. So, you know, his speech was had a lot of historical context, talking about unconventional ways that the Fed can influence the economy, and so he did say a couple interesting things. He admitted that there's limited historical experience with non-traditional monetary easing, and what we're talking about here is buying assets or talking about maintaining low rates for an extended period of time. And he did talk about the potential costs of non-traditional policy. And one of the things that came out of his speech was, you know, probably a realization or a reaffirmation of the fact that the Fed is really trying to do things without necessarily firm historical grounds, although it does appear to be working. So, you know, some of the things he talked about could be potential problems that comes from non-traditional policy, impairment of market functioning, concern about Fed's ability to exit smoothly, potential financial losses by the Fed if rates rise rapidly, risk pushing rates lower, and investors seeking return in riskier assets. I mean, these things have all been talked about, so I think that was all pretty much known. He did conclude, though, with a near-term outlook. To the extent that he did a policy speech, it was in his concluding remarks. He talked about near-term outlook. He said, very slow recovery in housing and construction, new residential construction, which impacts the economic growth tremendously. He talked about the government's physical drag on spending. And, you know, what people don't realize is, you know, I've said this before on the program, and I say this to people, they look at me like I'm crazy. Federal spending is actually down from where it was at the beginning of the Obama administration. More importantly, so is state and local spending. So there is tremendous physical drag from the lack of government spending. And then the financial stress caused by Europe. So he mentioned those things. And he used the term grave concern for a weak labor market and potential structural damage from persistently high unemployment. So those comments were taken by a lot of people to mean that there is a strong chance that the Fed will do some sort of easing, a non-traditional type of easing on their September 13th meeting. And it could take a couple of different forms. It could take the form of additional guidance, rates remain low for an extended period of time. There could be further asset purchases. And I think the betting right now is about 50-50 that they'll do further asset purchases. One thing that I just have to talk about, people say, well, the Fed is, you know, being too aggressive, the Fed should quit doing this. People forget the Fed has a double mandate. They have a dual mandate. The first part of their mandate, which everybody is really focuses on, is keeping inflation in check. And their basic guideline is to hold inflation, core inflation, at 2%. And they're being very successful on that level. I mean, there's very little inflationary pressure, and core inflation is running at about 1.8%. The other part of the Fed mandate is to keep unemployment down or to work to keep unemployment down. And their target range for unemployment by the Fed is, you know, this is a guess, but it's about 5.6%. Well, unemployment's at 8.3%. So Bernanke's actions, I think, are probably very understandable if you view his job as having a dual mandate. And he will continue to try to do whatever he can do to get unemployment down.
Patrick Stone joining us here on FM News 101. You know, Pat, this leads us down a political trail now, and I don't want to turn this into a political show. We get plenty of good discourse on FM News 101 Monday through Friday in that regard, but we have to talk about it because it gets political this time of year when the Fed must take action in certain regard, and we're in the midst of a presidential election. We have two very, very different opinions on the direction of the country, Obama versus Romney. Why don't you break that down a little bit? Because you and I have had some great discussions that have been off air about what can and can't be done or should or shouldn't be done in the midst of what is truly the Great Recession. We got to be really careful now, don't we?
Well, I think so. You know, we've had a series of what are called Prague Springs, and this is where, you know, the numbers and the economic indicators are very positive early in the year, and then they peter out in the summer. This is the third year in a row this has occurred, and this is pretty typical, I think, of a post-financial meltdown. And we've talked before on this program and in private about the underlying problem being the level of debt. It's really hard to increase consumption when consumers' debt is, you know, their personal debt in this country is 114% of income. So there's just a tremendous amount of debt at every level, and it'll take a long time to correct that. So we're looking at a situation where we've had optimism in the spring, and we've had depression in the summer, and then we've had an ongoing battle about whether or not policy will make a difference. And you've heard me say, Brian, that I really seriously doubt that policy as implemented by whoever's elected as president is going to make a whole lot of difference. I think the breakdown here, to a large extent, why we keep talking about the Fed is that Congress has done nothing to change fiscal policy. There is a great debate in this country whether or not we should, whether we should have some sort of stimulus program to increase unemployment and to spur the economy on. Some people say no, the government shouldn't spend money. Some people say yes, we should invest in infrastructure. I got a kick, and I'm going to share this with you and the audience. I got a kick the other day. I was having an argument with a friend, and I said, "Well, you know, probably one of the biggest stimulus packages in history came under Ronald Reagan, and that was the tremendous amount of money that the federal government spent on defense."
Yes,
and that's stimulus. Whether you spend it on defense, infrastructure, no matter how you spend it, government spending is stimulus. And if you recall, the early '80s were pretty tough times, and we had high interest rates to combat inflation, and there was a fairly significant recession. We got out of it because the federal government spent money. So I would probably err on that side without taking a position on who's running for president. I would say that I would love to see the federal government spend money on infrastructure.
Well, and that's what I was getting at in the 2 minutes we have left, Pat, is the fact that you have the deficit hawks right now talking about everything we need to do to bring spending into control. You yourself just mentioned that spending is down since the beginning of the Obama administration. And quite frankly, now is not the best time to be reining in government spending when we're in the midst of this economic recovery, right?
I absolutely think it's the wrong time to focus on curtailing government spending. You know, we also have talked before, Brian, about the Germans. You know, they passed a law in Germany that the government was going to have to get federal spending back into balance, but they gave themselves about 10 years to do it. And we probably need to do the Simpson-Bowles plan. We
Yes.
probably need to have a 10 or 15-year horizon. In the meantime, we should probably make sure that our people are going to work, because the federal deficit right now has more to do with the decline in revenue than it does government spending.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because you've said this time and again on this show that, you know, this will take a decade to clean up. If this started officially, the clock started ticking in August of 2007, and if my math is correct, we've got about another 5 years, right?
I would agree. I mean, I'm hoping it's going to be faster than that, but it could take that long.
And real quick, 30 seconds, with the Fed's bond buying program, sounds mainly mortgage-backed securities, probably will see mortgage rates tick down a little bit, don't you think?
Yes, I think mortgage rates will either stay where they are or quite possibly could tick down even further.
Okay, good stuff. Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us here on a Sunday afternoon here on FM News 101. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Pat about the real estate market. Big story in the Wall Street Journal just a few days ago, talking about Fannie and Freddie, past, present, and future. Do we need these government-sponsored entities in the housing market? Big question for Pat Stone. Plus, we'll take a look at markets around the country Where are we seeing improvement? That's up next as Business Briefing continues here on FM News 101.